The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome to the Blackhawks Talk Podcast. I'm Pat Boyle, joined by 2013 Stanley Cup champion Jamal Mayers as we break down a difficult Vegas 2-1 victory in Game 3 over the Blackhawks. What went wrong for the Hawks? What things were encouraging? It's all coming up on the freshest installment of the Blackhawks Talk Podcast.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
All right, Jammer. We were looking for a good start. That's something the Hawks have found themselves, you know, pretty much down in every game that they've lost. They've trailed in the first or have been even. They had a solid first period, but again, it's a miscue by Duncan Keith on the power play, and Stone gets it to William Karlsson. The back check from Doc. You know, I don't know. Maybe you could critique that a little bit. But just the small mistakes his team makes end up in the back of the net.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because you're absolutely right. Up until that point, you're playing well enough to draw the penalty, first of all. Mm-hmm. So you're dictating the play. And then you get an opportunity to go on the power play. And a little bit of a miscue. At that point, you know, Duncan Keith had mishandled the puck. That's when you just say, you know what, we'll live to fight another day and whack it in and we regroup and do it again. You know, give Vegas credit. They jumped on their horse. They've got Riley out there who's been great all series long, makes a nice play to Karlsson. And, you know, I would like to think Corey would want to make that save and have to make that save at that juncture of the game. A backhander from that far out over the blocker side. You know, it's an unfortunate play that happened and before you know it, the Hawks, although they dictated the play, are down.
Yeah, and it looks like he's, you know, slightly oversliding that allowed the puck to go off his right shoulder and to the back of the net. And it's kind of been a theme for him, letting in the somewhat questionable goal early, but then he plays like the guy that's won two rings. And in that second period, when Vegas got some power plays, and all of a sudden, the momentum changed. He made 11 stops, and we don't have the official number, but I mean, I have to think seven of those were grade A chances, at least.
You're absolutely right. You think about where those shots were taken and how they generated their offense. And we were commenting, watching the game, that, wow, there's a lot of opportunities there for the Golden Knights between the hash marks. And so, yeah, Corey was unbelievable from the second period on and gave his team a chance.
You know, and then there's 5 minutes to go in the second period. And to me, this epitomizes how talented and how good the Vegas Golden Knights are, because they do something in every zone and they make you pay. And it starts with Tuck forcing the turnover along the wall, challenging Patrick Kane. And then in the neutral zone, they quickly transition and they break out and they get, you know, and that's where Boqvist is caught flat-footed, basically at center ice. Then they come in with the odd man rush and they've got a player making his Stanley Cup playoff debut in Patrick Brown, who's charging hard, trailing, and the rebound comes right to him and he's there. I mean, those are the things, if I could say the Hawks aren't doing enough of all those things, that's something that I see time and again from the Vegas Golden Knights.
Well, you said it and you broke it down perfectly from each zone, and what they do extremely well, in my opinion, is they sweat the details. The details of their game are there every single night. And there's a predictability to their game. There's a way that, and a methodology that they, how they want to approach things and how they want to play as a group. They're all on the same page in regard to how they defend, how they get through the neutral zone, and how they attack the net. Middle lane drive, giving up your shot, stopping in front, all those things that make you successful, they did on that one single goal. It ended up being the game-winning goal. And from a guy who hasn't played this year yet in the playoffs to step into the lineup, it shows you how much depth this team has for the Vegas Golden Knights.
With the Hawks and Knights playing back-to-back games Saturday, Sunday, with less than 24 hours between the two, it doesn't surprise us with Marc-Andre Fleury and with Robin Leonard that one would start one night and the other would start the other. What maybe was debatable was why you wouldn't keep Leonard going if, you know, he's won every start since he put on the sweater, and you couldn't really blame any of those three goals, I don't think, in game two on him. But lo and behold, Marc-Andre Fleury got the start. And the more I think about it, I think back to stuff that you've taught me and told me over the years. When another team comes to town and they have back-to-back games and they start their backup against you, that is a disrespect. That is a sign of disrespect. And so, like, in a way, Pete DeBoer wasn't worried about putting a guy out there who hadn't seen a lot of game activity. I think he only got one appearance in the round robin.
Right. I don't understand the move. It's playoffs. And you look at any goaltender who, and maybe the position is changing and the way that they're approaching things has changed, because historically that's not what you do. You have your starting goaltender and you ride him. And I can assure you Corey Crawford's playing tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter. It's back to back. So a little bit surprising. I was hopeful that they would get to him early and make him question that decision.
And they had opportunities. Like Doc comes in on that shorthanded opportunity and he tries to stick handle when he's coming in 100 miles an hour and doesn't really get a shot off. DeBrincat on a power play gets a great mini break. He doesn't get the shot off. Especially with the guy that just got in there. I know he's won cups. Like, I'm not talking about, like, you know, his overall resume, but, like, this team doesn't take advantage of the quality chances that they do. They're, like, making an extra pass or dusting it off or, like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I was shocked that, you know, I think Kirby's got to go to school a little bit. Like, at the end of the day, I knew as a shooter that Fleury is very aggressive one-on-one. He'll almost, like, trip you versus making the save, if you notice that's what he does with Kirby. He's kind of being so aggressive to stop him from being able to do that. That's his style. So, to me, I know in tight, it's got to be really quick. It's got to happen fast. And in my opinion is you've got to shoot on those chances with him.
You might get – the rebound may come off him, hit you, and carry him in.
Yeah.
Better chance of getting that happening – than trying to go to your backhand and tucking one by him.
And the puck was rolling.
Yes.
So all you got to do is whack it and get a lot on it, and it's going to be tough for him to pick that puck up and make a reactionary save.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
So the Hawks get their lone goal in the third period, 6 minutes in, and it was, you know, the only miscue by Marc-Andre Fleury, Ole Matago's eight hole, beating his former Penguin teammate. But other than that, you know, I thought obviously Marc-Andre Fleury was great. I don't feel the quality of stops that he needed to make were anywhere near the number that Cordy had to make.
That's true. Although I will say that I thought if there were any single player that had a ton of opportunities and good scoring chances in good area, it was Alex DeBrincat.
Yes.
And he made some good saves on DeBrincat, although I think he might change the location of his shot. A couple times he went low blocker and shot a little bit too low and wasn't able to beat him. But, you know, again, Fleury was good. Fleury was good enough to win. And you know, the Hawks had their chances, and he stood tall.
You look at the Hawks lineup, and you try to figure out where they can try to generate more quality chances 5-on-5. Like, Drake Caggiula, for you know, everything that he brings to the table, is probably best suited as a bottom six forward in this league.
1,000%.
And he's, you know, playing on the second line with Doc. I look at, you know, the fourth line, those guys really, you know, we saw Carpenter at one point center Kane for a while, and that was a tough watch. I mean, certainly there's not much you can do there. I thought Saad was really fighting it on Saturday night. I guess at times, while I don't think there are a lot of options for Jeremy, I wouldn't mind plugging in somebody who is going. Like, I wouldn't mind seeing Kat, you know, with Taves and Kane if you went nuclear. You went nuclear off the top, and then we never saw it again. I'm just trying to, like, look at this lineup and figure out, you know, what you could possibly do. You know, Nylander is certainly somebody that I could see, you know, coming out of the lineup.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to change something up. You haven't won a game. You're down 3-0. You want to inject some life, and it's a great opportunity to bring a couple guys in. I would bring as many as two guys into the lineup. Well, you're saying, why would you do that? You're playing in less than 24 hours as well. So if you can bring in some guys who can bring in some energy and have fresh legs, I think it's a great, great, great time to do that, especially on the heels of a back-to-back. So I hope Jeremy does do that. I hope he does shuffle the lines a little bit and finds a way to play his top guys a little bit more and finds a way to mix up the lineup a little bit.
Do you think with the amount of ice time that Kane had in Game 3, almost 25 minutes, do you think you need to wait a little bit before you start double shifting him, or is there no wait in an elimination game 4?
There's no wait, and you go to him and you ask him when he gets to the rink, because I'm sure they're not going to have a morning skate. I don't think they're having those at all anyway. Is you go to him when he gets to the rink and you say how you feel and what are you thinking for tonight, and you can I play as much as I did today? How do your legs feel? Let me know early on, and you'll get a sense of what he looks like. But right from the gate, I would be double shifting him and playing him a ton again tomorrow. I think he can do it.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing some tweaks on the power play. I thought the 0-for-4 performance with the 6 shots on goal, and obviously the shorthanded it wasn't good.
And listen, from the beginning, I think we noticed it, and it happens. Dunks was fighting it. He was fighting the puck. And, you know, at the end of the day, to me, you got to change it up right away.
Yeah.
Like, he wouldn't have got the second or third power.
But where do you go? You go to Boqvist?
Go to Boqvist. Yeah. You know, at the end of the day, that's what he's going to be. And so, and that's what he's good at. He's good at those offensive situations and those moments. And so give him, put him in a good situation to succeed. I think that he would fit nicely on that top unit.
All right, so here's the question I have for you. Do the Hawks need to win a game in this series to kind of validate this hopefully building block towards becoming a competitive championship caliber team? Otherwise, if they get swept by the Vegas Golden Knights, is it like they went on a 3-week peewee tournament? You know what I mean? Like, is it, do they need to win a game to validate the opportunity that was given to them and the so-called step that they may have made? Or would you be like, if they end up going out in four, it's like, it's basically the team that I saw before the pause. They just ended their season in a different environment, in a bubble in Edmonton.
I guess to answer that question, you'd have to ask the you know, the executives or the powers that be within the organization, where they see this team. Where do they feel like they are in that development and that path?
And well, they tend to say that they've made steps, and this is like, you know, you're trying to bring new guys along, like the Boquists.
Okay, then if that's the case, then they have to win a game. If you're saying that everything else is gravy, that we were surprised that we were able to beat Edmonton, and this is a nice experience for our younger players, and we're not quite there yet, we have a few holes we need to fix, et cetera, then you're going to look at it as, you know what, being competitive in all four games and losing in four is fine, because this is where we are, and we know we have to get better in X and Y area.
Do you think the soft goals by Crawford are going to affect his negotiations with the Blackhawks, if indeed both sides want to keep this marriage going? Or do you think the COVID excuse is going to be like, okay, at the end of the day, it's kind of hard to evaluate a guy who didn't really see any live pucks until a week before this thing started?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think Corey Crawford, you also have to look at what are the other options out there.
Yes.
And so...
And how much money you're willing to
spend.
Yeah,
what is your...
You're not going to allot $11 million to the position like you did in 2019/20.
Right. So what does that number look like, budget-wise? What are the options out there? Corey's only played for one team. Is this where he wants to stay and retire? And, you know, it'll be interesting to see. They're organizationally, where are they, depth-wise? So I think Corey's in a good place, and I do agree with you in regard to the fact that there's a lot of reasons why you can make excuses, I call them, for what may have affected his play.
Do you have a sense as when you played 17 or how many seasons in the National Hockey League?
15.
Felt like 17.
17 professional.
Professional.
Two in the minors, I didn't count.
Okay, all right. You've got a good sense of kind of the drive of a team. Do you have more confidence or a feeling that the Knights smell blood and are ready for the knockout punch, or that the Hawks could find another step up in desperation and try to, again, do what some of these other Hawks teams have done in the past, not go quietly?
Yeah. I'm not going to ever doubt the competitiveness and the resolve and the fighting spirit of the core of this group. And so you're absolutely right. I there's a lot of pride that's involved with the character type of people that you have in regard to the captain, to all those guys that have won before, and Patrick Kane and Duncan Keith. And I think you're going to get an honest, real effort, and they're going to find another level.
You can see the Blackhawks take on the Vegas Golden Knights game 4 on Sunday on NBC Sports Chicago. Our pregame coverage will begin at 5 o'clock. Pat Nedzo will have the call at 5:30. Could be the last time you see the Blackhawks play until December or even January of 2021. Or it could be an opportunity for them to keep this playoff going. Make sure you check it out. Thank you for listening to the Blackhawks Talk podcast. My thanks to Jamal Mayers. Don't forget to rate us, and we'll catch you next time on the Blackhawks Talk podcast.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.